We woke up yesterday morning, and Haley said, "Today's VBS. Today's VBS." She started jumping up and down and got excited and was bouncing off the walls. And I think that's a wonderful thing when children get excited about that. And my kids always love coming to church. She's smiling at me. I guess she heard me say something about her. But this morning, I wanted to kind of build off of that. I want to talk about the next generation and what we're teaching and passing on to our children and our grandchildren, those around us, and to apply some of the principles and scriptures that the children were learning yesterday as far as making God and Christ and the church a treasure. And that is the greatest treasure in our life, of the blessings that we have spiritually through Jesus Christ, and that we value His church and His kingdom. And so when we look at this, and our main passage this morning is going to be Psalm 71. So Peyton read part of that for us this morning about belief and faith in God. As the psalmist says there, we don't know who wrote this psalm, Psalm 71. But he says, "From my youth I was committed in following God." And I think that's a wonderful thing. What we want to do is pass on to our children 9/11, where I was standing and what was happening. Speaking about that yesterday, but the next generation, they have no idea about this. They have a post-Christian worldview where our society doesn't think that way. Everything they've been bombarded with on TV and the internet is very secular. It's hard to find anything that has a basis in Christianity and faith and belief in God. Generation Z often have stronger feelings and loneliness, being overwhelmed and impatient. They try to fact-check everything. So you got to have your everything right. They're going to pull out their phone and they're going to check everything that you are saying, and oftentimes go to Google. But again, a big warning on that, be careful about fact-checking. Just whatever pops up on Google is being right. Also, we hear here, Generation Z struggles to know who to trust. Everything seems kind of fluid or ambiguous, as we've been seeing in the news regarding gender roles. They are more pragmatic about the future economy, and so you could say some negative things about them, but they're also, I guess you could say, a little bit more thrifty in the way that they think after the Great Recession, and the way they think about money. Their thinking is towards social justice many times, and so whereas my generation is thinking more about the borders and the terrorist attacks and defending our country, and a mindset toward that way, their mind is more towards social justice, relieving poverty, immigration, and human trafficking. And most of them still, they want jobs that impact their community. And so there's a lot of positive things here as well. And I think about that, and I wonder about, here I am 37, and I often feel like it was just yesterday that I was 17. But I've just, there's a big gap there. What are we going to do to influence our children, the next generation? And I think that's what we need to be talking about and thinking about, especially before they go off to college, or even when they're thinking later in their life, in their late 20s. A lot of times, many who have gone away start thinking again about marriage and the family and coming back to the church. But what we need to give the next generation is hope. Oh, that's one of the things that stand out in one of the scriptures. The main scripture we're going to look at this morning from Psalm 71 is that we pass down hope. And the Bible says there is one hope, according to Ephesians. God gives us that one hope. And the one hope the scriptures continue to tell us in Romans chapter 8 is of eternal life. It's to have a redeemed body, to have that glorified body, to have what God has promised to us through Jesus' resurrection. And it's also this, that we pass on to them a faith that exists in a reasonable view of God. Many people today don't believe in God and more are rejecting it. Our society's becoming more secular. Why? Because their view of God is often distorted, often have a negative view of God. If I have a negative view of God and I blame Him for a lot of things, or I talk about God as though He's just another man, of course I'm not going to want to worship Him or submit to Him or even believe in Him or trust Him. But if I have more of a reasonable view, a positive view, a biblical view of God, and I hope that's what's being passed down to our children, then what are they going to do with that? They're going to have something to which they can actually believe and trust and follow. And so we want to pass down hope, and we want to pass down a reasonable view, a right view, a faithful view of God. Here's our scripture reading for this morning. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And you see the psalmist's adoration of God from his very youth. He recognized who gave him life from his birth and what matters. And I think about that when I was a child, how much I adored God and I thanked God for my life. I don't know if other children around me thought like that. I mean, we talk about it some, but I often thought about God made me, so I owe him everything. Jesus died for me, so I owe him everything. And I hope that we are passing that on. For our exposition this morning, let's take out our Bibles and look at Psalm 71, verses 17 through 21. I'm going to draw some observations from it. Psalm 71, verse 17 to 21. And the psalmist says this, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Notice that connection there with the youth and proclaiming God's wondrous deeds. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities and will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. And Psalms is filled with those positive views and proclamations of God, things that we would want to say and pray to our Creator. But I'll notice some things here. Those who are taught by God since their youth, who have taught the Scriptures, are taught by their parents, just like the Israelites were told to do in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when you rise up, when you lay down, whether you're walking by the way, that you teach your children, that you're always talking about God's law and His Word. And that's how you know someone, again, has that truth on their heart. They want to talk about that. So he says, those taught by God since youth, they are the ones that are going to proclaim the deeds of God. They're going to talk about Him in a positive way. They're going to share their faith with others. The author, he wanted to live long enough, he says, and it's hard to get an indication here if he's already got gray hair or he's going to get gray hair or where he is. But you know what he wants? He wants to continue living. He wants to live into old age because he's not going to ever retire. He's not going to ever stop from teaching the next generation. He wants to proclaim God's power to them. He wants to share that truth. And I hope that everybody has that same feeling. When we think about Vacation Bible School, that's what we were doing. That's the motivation, is to proclaim God's power to the next generation. God's righteousness and great deeds, he says, are greater than any others. They are high as the heavens. And it's true, God's morality, his nature, is the basis of what is right and wrong. His virtue of love and forgiveness and mercy is what sets what we believe. As before, as again, right and wrong morality, good and evil. And then the writer, he sees the troubles of life. And so some people might get here, they think the troubles, and they get down. But the psalmist doesn't do that here. In facing the troubles in life, he says, I trust in God. No matter the hardships, no matter the calamities, God's going to raise me up. Even from death, he's going to raise me up from the depths of the earth, he says. And I hope that we are passing that on, that we have hope, that hope is what's being passed on to our children, to our grandchildren, to the next generation. And that is what we are about, is making disciples of that next generation coming, the next children. That generation that needs a faith in God, they need a hope in Christ, and I think we see that this morning. I hope that's where we stand as a congregation and a body. So at VBS, our main focus were on scriptures like this one, the hidden treasure. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. This is what we want to pass on to our children, that they have the same conviction and faith that we do. Strong faith. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field in which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Is that how you look at the gospel? Does your family, do they recognize that you're willing to give up everything for the truth of which Christ has brought? Will you give everything for the gospel? To live and to follow God? Are you willing to sell it all to have a part of that treasure? Eternal life in that kingdom of heaven. He goes on, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Where is our thinking in our minds throughout the week? And I think we could see a lot of it. What is our family seeing us when we go home today? What are they going to see on Monday and throughout the rest of this week about where our thinking is? They see us in study of God's Word. They see us in prayer. They hear us thinking and talking and glorifying God and thanking Him for the wonderful things He does. They see us valuing the kingdom and willing to give up everything for it. And I hope that they do. You know, the congregation cannot pass over this ultimate value of the Christian faith. Some have done that. I think some churches have missed it. And I hope that we as Christians will not do that. That we will not give up on what the next generation needs to hear. And life changes for the better. So when we're passing on these things to our children, we need to be showing them the reason I'm a Christian, I give my whole life to Christ, is because things are more wonderful that way. The world and hope is much more beautiful. The love that I now have is much more deeper because of the love of Jesus that He died for me. And I'm willing to die for you and to give my life on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope that that's what we're passing on. Our final passage this morning, I want you to look right here. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. It's not about the possessions. It's not about how much clothes we have, the video games, the nice cars that we have, whatever your infatuation is right now in your life, the next new phone. You know, people will stand in long lines for the next phone. Jesus says, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, our houses, the roofs are going to wear out, and our cars are going to rusting, and they're going to break down. And your phone, it's going to be obsolete in four or five years, if not sooner. Things we have don't really matter. What matters is that we have treasure in heaven. That's what needs to be passed on the next generation, and that's what we did yesterday. So I encourage you, seek and find the most value in God and in Christ, and pass that on. Make sure that they know it so that when children are leaving our homes and going off, that they don't go off into unbelief. They don't go off into apostasy and leave God behind. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel. The gospel was preached after Christ had risen from the dead, and 50 days later, the disciples have been gathered together. There, Peter preached a very powerful message, and they ask and they want to know how to be saved. And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many people today will reject baptism because they don't have a positive view of baptism. But as we look at the Scriptures, we see the importance of it. And I hope today that if you are not a Christian, if you've not been baptized, that you do it. That you believe, that you confess your faith, that you repent of your sins, that you're baptized, and you rise up from that water. God raises you up to live in a new life. This morning, if you need prayers and encouragement, we encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Our values. And we look around in our family and our neighbors and peers. We can tell what they value most by what they do. How they do their job, how they live their life, how they take care of their home or their yard, how they treat their family members. We see one another. We can tell. Many of us value ourselves as a good judge of character. We can see other personality. We can see what matters most. And I hope that as Christians, people will look at us and see that. Now, the thing is, we can hide a few things from the world. Well, I know that we can. We can make it look like, yes, I'm a good person, I'm a hard worker, and I value the church, and I value Christ and God. But then, we've known, probably everybody in here has known somebody who has appeared that way and has lived another life, has been hiding something. And I'm not going to try to get too personal, But I know what it's like to be able to look at someone and to look up to them, but also to see the hypocrisy that might also be a part of the way that they live in their home and behind closed doors. And I want to make sure that our children, our grandchildren, or even your adopted children within this congregation, and if you don't, you know, have children you're looking after or someone in your family life right now, you do have a role right here in this congregation in helping us and bringing up children and encouraging them. Of course, I'm talking about children. I'm including adolescents. I'm including the adult children as well, for that matter. We continue to carry that example on through the rest of our life. And this is a very powerful scripture right here. As Solomon writes here in Ecclesiastes, he says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." Oh, when do those years come? I have no pleasure in them. Well, you go and you read Ecclesiastes, and he talks about how your sight becomes dull, and your hearing becomes less, and your teeth become brittle. And he gives very vivid details there. And he says, the time to commit to God and to remember Him is in your youth. It has a huge impact on you for the rest of your life. What you believe as a child, especially as an adolescent. I hope Kendra doesn't mind me using her. I was talking to her yesterday, and she was talking to some of the kids here about being baptized here. And she knows the month and the day and the year in which she was baptized. And it makes an impact on her cousins and on the children that were here and what she said. And I could tell how much it meant to her. Forgive me for using you as an illustration. Probably should have asked you ahead of time. But I think you were baptized, was it April 4th, 2011? I got it. All right. So I think that's impressive that you remember that day and it means that much to you. She remembers her Creator in the days of her youth and it affects her and for the rest of her life. I hope that we can all do that. We think about the time when we have changed and we committed ourselves to God. And it carries with us. It matters what you do in your youth. And I think some people think, and they live their life, say, I'm going to do whatever I want to. You remember one of the Roman emperors, Constantine, who was known to be one of the first Christian emperors. We could debate that. But he waited to the very end of his life, till he was on his deathbed, to be baptized. Because he wanted to live however he wanted to. Now, he would recognize Christ and he recognized God, but he that was his mentality, to wait to the very end of his life and to do that. And that's the kind of thinking that I don't think we should have at all. That's not what we see in the Bible. We see that those who believe should be baptized immediately. They should go on and commit themselves now to remembering their creators, to their Creator in the day of their youth. And I hope that I pass that down to my children. I certainly don't want them to lose that. And so what we see Solomon here saying again is encourage them that you have this thinking before those evil days come. And the reason why this is so important, I'm going to give you some, you know, kind of information. I've been studying recently. I've been reading a book, So the Next Generation Will Know. It's the name of this book. Written by Sean McDowell and J. Warner Wallace. They're apologists in defense and presenting the gospel. And they talk about Generation Z. You know, the generation that's now, they're teenagers and our children. And he talks about some of the details here. And some of this has not changed. But usually the thinking is that when our children leave our home, they go off to college, and sometimes if they lose their faith, they struggle with their faith, we oftentimes blame the professors or the school and say because of, you know, the liberal professors out there and what they're teaching. But the research has actually been showing contrary, that the reason that so many leave and go away, and if they go off to a Christian school, they usually stay. You know, Fried Hardeman had a record that their retention rate to someone staying faithful in the church through their whole life is, I think, 94% if they go through that school. And I think the same could be said for other Christian schools, the influence they have on those who are coming through them. But as far as those leaving churches and going off into college, the indication, the research here, and it's right here in this paper here by Daniel Cox, it says college professors aren't killing religion, is that 79% of adolescents who walk away from their faith do so before college. In other words, they have already started doubting and started disbelieving and started living a hypocritical life before they've left the home. I think that's significant because I think a lot of times that as parents we think, well, somebody else, it's always, you know, someone outside. And maybe it is someone outside influence in our home, but I think about it now. I think about my children, and as they're coming up into their adolescent teenage years, what influence are they going to have? To me, this was shocking. I mean, I didn't think this as I was reading through it that this would be the conclusion there, that these decisions most of the time would already be made. And that tells us a lot, I think, about children. That their decisions at age 12, 13, 14, and 15, and age 18 until they leave the home are huge. I mean, one mistake in that age can affect the rest of your life and change it. And I thought it was interesting, looking at Generation Z and looking at the things that are going on today, those who are born between 97 and 2012, and to think about some of the things that about them. They have no memory of 9/11. I think I was talking to somebody yesterday, a group of us, we were all saying, well, I remember exactly what happened, where I was.